Welcome to Results Driven with Kurt High from High Value Consulting. Planning for your financial future means navigating challenges like market volatility, inflation, and retirement income. Results Driven is here to help by addressing common financial concerns, sharing valuable strategies, and exploring ways you can work toward your financial goals. Now, let's get started with Results Driven.
Good morning, Jacqueline. How are you this morning?
I am fantastic, Kurt. I am a little hungry, though. A good breakfast right now would be perfect for me.
Breakfast is always the mainstay meal of every day, as they say. I didn't have breakfast either, but I was excited about the show today.
Yeah, well, and what do you typically like for breakfast? Tell me your favorite meal.
Eggs Benedict is my all-time go-to. That's my favorite, yeah.
Yeah, I've gotten into Eggs Benedict recently, and I really like it. I mean, it's surprisingly good. When I was younger, I never liked it. I mean, let's be honest, it's kind of a older dish, right? I would say. But everyone, I mean, it's a staple. And I also like the pancakes and the waffles. But the protein in eggs, can't get better than that.
Yeah, Eggs Benedict, like I said, that's my default. And just, you know, once in a while, I may stray off and do an omelet or something. But most all the time, I go to the Eggs Benedict and look for the difference, you know, like there's a country and there's a Western and there's a California style. So all kinds of cool stuff. So.
Yeah. And are you a bacon or sausage person?
I kind of like both, but I usually go with the turkey sausage. So.
Ooh, healthy. I think sausage is healthier.
I try to do that. I try to do it in the biggest way. Yep.
Yes. Now I'm hungry. I mean, let's be honest. Now we're going to start off this episode being hungry, but maybe we can get some breakfast afterwards.
Sounds good.
Take it away, Kurt. What are we talking about today?
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm going to introduce everybody to Results Driven. My name is Kurt J.I. from the company High Value Consulting. That's also a sponsor powered by State Guru. If you'd like more information, I want to hear more about our show today, you can give us a call at my number, 484-431-2874. Or visit us online at highvalueconsulting.org. And while at my website, click on the radio page to check out past shows and subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. Today, we're going to be talking about beneficiaries. A lot of people don't really understand how they can work or work for them or against them. But let's start with inheriting an IRA is often a welcome windfall. And it's not handled strategically, it can hit you with some really hefty tax burden because inherited IRAs comes with plenty of rules that are designed to make sure the IRS gets paid sooner or later. During today's show, we're going to address IRA inherited strategies and some of the common mistakes people make and should try to avoid. But before we get to that topic, let me introduce my co-host, Jacqueline Gladhill, who comes to us risk-free and full of upside.
Well, I mean, now that's a very financially specific compliment, Kurt. I think, you know, you have a great topic for us today, and I'm excited to learn more about it. I mean, we're talking kind of the legality of things here, and many people will be beneficiaries at some point in their life, whether it comes to the parents or spouses. So understanding the rules and strategy steps is very important.
Absolutely. Let's jump right into the important topic with an article from Kiplinger. Inherited an IRA, avoid these common mistakes that can cost you, which I think does a good job of clearly spelling out some of the key facts and figures. Inherited IRAs are often called beneficiary IRAs because that's just what it's called when an IRA gets passed along to a spouse, a family member, or someone else who you care about after you've passed away. Now, here's the thing. You can actually leave an IRA just to that anybody, but the rules for what happens next can be very different depending on who the beneficiary is. Once that transfer happens, the money from the original IRA moves into an inherited IRA in the beneficiary's name. You can add money to it, but it does stay tax deferred, which is one of the good things. But here's where it can get a little tricky, especially if you're not the spouse. In that case, the IRS says you have to fully withdraw the inherited IRA within the 10-year window of the original account holder's death. And every dollar must be taken out counts as ordinary income. So if you wait until year 10 to do something about it, well, let's just say you could be staring at one very big unpleasant tax bill. And that's exactly why planning ahead with someone who knows the rules inside and out can make a significant difference.
Wow. I mean, 10 years, that's a big number there and an important number that I think we'll get to further, Kurt. But if someone knows the rules inside and out, that can really just make a difference. I mean, that sounds like ample reason to work closely with a financial services professional. And so what are some of the rules that come with inheriting IRAs, Kurt?
Now, if you've been listening for a while, you know that I keep up to speed on the rule changes that you have a big impact on retirement plans. One of the biggest shifts in recent years came with the SECURE Act, or Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement Act of 2019. Here's what it means for inherited IRAs. If you're not the spouse and you inherited the IRA or an IRA after December 31st of 2019, you're now looking at what they call a 10-year rule. That means you have to fully withdraw the account within 10 years. But there's a few important exceptions, and that is why working with a financial service professional can really help. If you're within the 10 years of the original account holder's age, and if you're disabled or chronically ill, or if a minor child would cease, you can be allowed to follow the old rules. Again, it gets a lot more complex. In other words, you can stretch these withdrawals over your lifetime. And if the person you inherited from had already started their required minimum distributions, or RMDs, as we like to use in the industry, which is now begins at age 73, you have to continue taking those during the 10-year window based on your own life expectancy. Now, here's something to remember. You can leave an IRA to anyone, but the tax rules definitely favor the spouse. Spouses get the most flexibility. In fact, they're the only ones that can simply treat the IRA as it's their own. And if you inherit your IRA, an IRA from your spouse, you got several smart options. Choosing the right one for you can make a huge difference in your taxes and your future income.
Yeah, Kurt, this can get very confusing. I mean, we're talking about some exceptions happening here and some specific numbers and specific years and amount of time. And so what are some of the potential options for spouses?
Okay, all right, let's get into the options. Because if you inherit an IRA from your spouse, you actually have a few different paths you can take. And choosing the right one for your situation really depends on your age, your income needs, and your long-term financial goals and plans. The first option, which is called a spousal transfer, this simply means that you take over the account, become the new account holder. The money is yours and is accessible right away. But remember, any withdrawals you take will still be taxable. If you're under 59 and a half, there could be also penalties unless you qualify for one of the IRS exemptions. And here's the good news. Your RMDs will now be based on your age, not your spouse's. If you're younger, that means you can stretch your withdrawals over more years and potentially easing the tax burden. Option two is to open an inherited IRA. In this case, you can roll the assets into an inherited IRA in your name. RMDs will still be based on your life expectancy, but also you also need to fully withdraw the account within 10 years. This route can make sense if you're under 59 and a half, you know you'll need access to the money sooner rather than later. And then there's the third option, which is taking a lump sum, which you can cash the whole thing out right away, but keep in mind the money is treated as ordinary income. A big payout like that could push you into a higher tax bracket, and that means a lot more taxes would be owed.
And we definitely do not want to be pushed into a higher tax bracket because that comes with a lot more problems and a lot more taxes. How do we necessarily prevent that? Well, I'm sure that you're going to get into that. And so, Kurt, kind of where are we going to go here next? What is on the agenda in this next segment?
Well, first of all, if listeners are interested, they can contact me again at the website, highvalueconsulting.org. Or they can call my office at 484-431 to discuss how we can answer your questions and address your concerns about your IRAs, your financial strategy, or any other parts of your retirement. It's our goal to help you prepare for retirement you work so hard for.
Great point, Kurt. And yes, working with a financial services professional like yourself is you know, you are the expert. You have all the knowledge. And especially in inherited IRAs and beneficiaries, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. And so, Kurt, where do we go?
Okay. The Kippinger has an article called Inherited IRA. Avoid these common mistakes that it can cost you. Has more details and insights that I think can be very useful and helpful for today's audience, including rules for non-spouses who inherit an IRA. Now, if you're inheriting an IRA and you're not the spouse, you don't fall into one of these exceptions we've talked about earlier, your choices are a little more limited. The first option is to open what we call an inherited IRA. Here's how that works. The assets get moved into an account in your name. Your required minimum distributions are calculated based on your life expectancy, and you've got that 10-year clock ticking. That money will still grow tax-deferred while it's in there, so you're not paying taxes on the earnings each year. The second option is to cash it out in a lump sum. While that might sound tempting, but here's the catch. Every dollar you take out is treated as ordinary income. Depending on the size of that account, this could push you into the higher tax bracket and be very costly in regards to the taxations or the check you have to send to the IRS.
No kidding. And this is where a little planning goes a long way. Sometimes spreading withdrawals over, you know, several years can help you manage your tax bill specifically. Other times, there are creative ways to pair withdrawals with other financial moves to soften the hit. And that's the kind of strategy that an experienced financial services professional can provide. What's next, Kurt?
All right, let's shift gears and talk about what happens if you inherit a Roth IRA. Because while a lot of the same rules apply, there's also a pretty big upside. With a Roth IRA, you don't owe taxes on withdrawals. That's because Roths are funded with after-tax dollars. The account grows tax-free. And for many beneficiaries, that's a huge advantage. Now, there's a couple of caveats if you want to keep those withdrawals tax-free. First, the original Roth has to have been open and funded for at least 5 years. Second, if the part of the Roth came from a conversion, say from a traditional IRA, those converted balances must sit in account for at least 5 years before they can be withdrawn without penalty. And while the original account owner never had to worry about the RMDs, you do have one requirement as a non-spouse. You have to make sure the account is empty within 10 years of the original owner's passing. It's not the same as taking an RMD each year, but the 10-year clock is still ticking. If you're inheriting a Roth IRA from a spouse, though, you've got even more flexibility. You can treat it as it's your own, spread withdrawals over your lifetime, and even leave it alone and let the money keep growing tax-free for as long as possible.
And those are very different paths that you can take. And so being a spouse and being a non-spouse is very important to know prior to making this financial strategy. And this is one of those times where people having a thorough strategy in place can make the difference between simply following the rules and actually maximizing the benefit of what you've earned and you've inherited. And that's exactly the kind of thing a financial services professional can help with, Kurt.
Yeah, one potentially smart move you can make with an inherited IRA is to think about timing. Spreading withdrawals over several years can often be a way to reduce the tax bite. And in fact, many financial service professionals see this as one of the most effective strategies for keeping more of your inheritance in your pocket and out of Uncle Sam's pocket. And here's the beauty of it. With an inherited IRA, you got flexibility. You can take a little more in the year when you need it and pull back in years when you don't, without facing any early withdrawal penalties. That flexibility can be a real gift if you know exactly how to use it strategically. In many cases, financial service professionals also recommend to their clients that they steer clear of cashing out the whole thing in a lump sum, which I highly recommend you do not. Sure, it might feel simpler, but the tax bill can be brutal and often unnecessary and really hard to recapture over the course of time. There's another important piece of advice here. Don't let loyalty to the past keep you from making smart moves for your future. The investments in an IRA may have been perfect for your loved one, but they may not be the correct and right investments for you. Your goals, your risk tolerance, your timeline could be completely different. In most cases, it is. So don't think of your dad's IRA or your mom's portfolio. Think of it as your tool to build the next stage of your financial life.
So, Kurt, if the current holdings don't hold or don't fit your objectives, it's perfectly okay and maybe also wise to reallocate these. And that's where you come in. But Kurt, before we continue, can you share a story that you maybe have? I mean, you said it's not a good thing to cash out the whole thing in a lump sum. Do you have a story of maybe a client in the past that's done this?
Yeah, I had a situation recently that there was two ladies, their sisters, inherited money from their mother in the past couple of years. And again, two different mindsets. I approached them both the same, giving them all the information to make the right intelligent decisions. However, sister A didn't listen to those recommendations, and she's only got half the money left. Okay. Mm-hmm. The other sister B, she's listened prudently, and her account has far exceeded expectations, and she's just taking the required minimum distributions out as per the IRS guidelines. And you can see there's night and day on how that's going to affect their overall retirement goals and objectives. Again, you can't save everybody, but again, I always give everybody the prudent, most thoughtful information that I know to help them achieve their long-term financial goals and objectives.
Yeah, and that brings up a whole nother point, Kurt, is that this is with beneficiaries and with all this information and this topic is where family arguments come in. You know, this is where people fight. And like you said, even with the sisters, there's got to be some jealousy there. There's going to be competition with each other. And so being able to make that plan individually, but also together is also important. So you don't have that jealousy. You're not creating that huge gap between the two of you.
You're absolutely right. And again, it's just like, as they say, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. But like I said, I provide the best advice that I know how, and I give them all the information, again, to make the right intelligent decision. So,
yeah, great job, Kurt.
So when you receive an inheritance, it's more than just a financial windfall. It's a moment that comes with decisions, deadlines, and potential tax traps. That's where a financial service professional comes in. And our role is to help you make sense of the rules, understand your options, create a plan that works for your goals. We'll look at ways to minimize taxes, whether that means spreading withdrawals over several years, pairing distributions with other income strategies, or reallocating investments so that it better aligns with your risk tolerance and financial goals. We'll walk through a timeline you'll need to hit, the paperwork you'll need to file, and the moves that you can turn your inheritance into more of a long-term financial security blanket. And most importantly, will help you make confident, informed choices so that you can, now you're just not reaching out or reacting to the rules, but using them in your advantage. Being more proactive than reactive is the most important thing.
Yeah, I love that, Kurt. Proactive versus reactive. And you're absolutely right, because that's when the best decisions are made. When you're thinking about the future, you're thinking about, you know, it's kind of like a chess game, right? You always are one step ahead, one move ahead. And Kurt, before we go on, can you tell our listeners how they can get a hold of you to get that no obligation consultation?
Absolutely. First of all, Results Driven is the show. My office is located in 835 North Route 100, Bechtelsoil, PA, within the accounting firm of Aikens Accounting. My number is 484-431-2874. The website, highvalueconsulting.org. You can give us a call, schedule an appointment. I guarantee to give you the best advice known that I know, to give you the information to make the informed decisions you need to make.
So far during today's episode, we've been highlighting some steps you may want to discuss with your financial services professional if you inherit an IRA and want to manage it in a way that best suits your needs and goals. So we've had a terrific chat so far. What is up next for us, Kurt?
Let's push ahead with today's topic by next examining another Kiplinger article, Inheriting an IRA, Five Rules Every Beneficiary Should Know for 2025. Recent legislation and regulatory updates have introduced new tax considerations for those inheriting retirement accounts. particularly changes and delays involving RMDs. The IRS has also released final rules for inheriting IRAs set to take effect in 2025. These regulations, though expected, solidify key provisions related to RMDs that will directly affect many beneficiaries, marking a significant shift in the financial and tax planning landscape for inherited retirement assets going forward. The article argues that there are five essential tax aspects IRA beneficiaries should familiarize themselves with, including that inherited IRA tax rules have changed. If you've inherited an IRA, or really, if you have any kind of retirement account, you need to know about the Secure 2.0 Act. This is a legislation that's reshaped retirement accounts across the board, from 401ks, 403bs, IRAs, Roth accounts, and even some of the tax benefits tied to them. One big change is that the minimum age for RMDs has moved up to 73 from 70 and a half, and is set again to rise to 75 in the future. And looking back to the original Secure Act of 2019, the one Secure Act 2.0 was built upon, that law has stopped many beneficiaries from stretching inherited IRAs distributions over their lifetime. These are the kinds of changes that can completely alter how and when you access your retirement savings. That's why it's so important to understand the rules before you make a move and develop a relationship also with a financial services professional.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, Kurt, because you stay on top of things. And it's almost impossible for every client to stay on top of all of these changes when it comes to retirement. There's a lot going on constantly, and nothing is permanent. And so can you tell us more about the changes to the so-called stretch rule, Kurt?
Absolutely. And that's a big question. Not too long ago, beneficiaries of inherited IRAs had a powerful tax strategy at their fingertips, what we call stretch IRA, or stretching out the payments of the required distributions. You can stretch these required distributions over your entire lifetime, allowing the account to keep growing tax-deferred for decades. But that changed with the original Secure Act. Now, for the most non-spousal beneficiaries who inherited an IRA on or after January 1st, 2020, the rule is simple and stricter. You have to empty the account within 10 years of the original owner's death. And here's something a lot of people don't realize. Under the IRS final regulations starting this year, many beneficiaries will have to take an annual withdrawal during the 10-year window, not just until the end. And that's a big shift that can catch people off guard. There are some exceptions, though. The law calls it some eligible designated beneficiaries, and they have some flexibility. Surviving spouses can treat the IRAs as their own and take distributions based on their life expectancy. Minor children of an account owner can stretch distributions until they reach adulthood, and then the 10-year rule kicks in. Disabled people who meet the IRS definition, meaning they can't engage in substantial gainful activities or work due to a long-term impairment. Chronically ill people who can't perform at least two activities of daily living without help or have severe cognitive impairment. People within 10 years of the account owner's age, often siblings or close friends, can also stretch distributions over their life expectancy.
Great points, Kurt. And I just want to go back quickly to the minor children. And so what you said was minor children of the account owner can stretch distributions until they reach adulthood. And then the 10-year rule kicks in. So that means if you are a child under the age of 18, the 10-year age gap does not start until you are 21. Correct, Kurt?
That is correct.
So basically what I view this as is a minimum age that this will result with is 31, because it does not start until you're 21 at a minimum.
That's correct.
There's one thing for sure. The info that you shared with us certainly warrants a check-in with your financial services professional, because this is very confusing.
Yeah, and here's a key detail many people miss. For some inherited IRAs, you don't just wait till year 10 to cash out. Under the IRS latest rule, certain beneficiaries must take annual withdrawals during that 10-year period. The amount depends on the factors like your age, your relationship to the original owner, whether they've already started their own RMDs or required minimum distributions. If they have, you actually need to keep taking an annual distribution while still following the 10-year rule. Knowing this can help you avoid costly surprises. Here's another element that catches a lot of people by surprise. For many inherited IRAs, you can't just wait until year 10 to take everything out. Under the IRS latest rules, some beneficiaries have to make annual withdrawals during the 10-year period. The amount you take each year depends on things like your age, your relationship to the original account owner, and whether they've already started taking their required minimum distributions before they passed away. Knowing which rules apply can make a big difference in your tax bill. Again, having a financial planning professional in your corner is a big help.
And I think we have time for one more thing, Kurt. Is there anything else you want to share?
Yeah, when it comes to inherited IRAs, the details matter. The type of account, your relationship to the original owner, your own circumstances all shape your tax strategy. Understanding these rules help you plan smarter, withdrawals, and avoid surprises. The right guidance can turn a complex inheritance into a clear financial planning strategy.
Yeah, and having a financial services professional in your back pocket, in your corner, to explain and make a clear financial strategy, like you said. Kurt, is there any other story or example you want to use?
In regards to the required minimum distribution, there is. I'll give you another example. I have a client, he's an attorney, a young attorney, and he inherited a sizable amount from his uncle. And we set the, helped him, you know, with setting the account up and giving him the guidance. Because he had, being even an attorney, no offense to attorney, but he's a smart guy, had no clue when it comes to IRAs and finance. So, and I have his father as a client and a couple other lawyers in his firm. But anyway, that being said, I gave him the guidance. We set everything up and we started taking the required minimum distributions every year. So here's something that happened that it's one of those, you got to be careful. I said to him at the end of the year, did you receive your required minimum distribution check? He says, oh, I already received it. I'm good. No problem. Here, when I went and double checked, and by this time, the clock had ran out by the end of the year, he didn't take it, but he thought he did. So again, supervision, all of us need supervision time to time. Well, again, we applied through the account to the IRS. They waived the penalties. They said it was just a one-time issue. He didn't do it on purpose. But again, you have to stay on top of this. And that's where, again, a relationship with a financial service professional really makes a big difference in avoiding these costly mistakes.
Great points. Well, we are just about out of time for today. And so can you just tell our listeners before we go how they can get a hold of you?
Absolutely. My address is 835 North Route 100 in Beckinsale, and I share an office with Aikens Accounting Firm. My phone number is 484-431-2874, and the website is highvalueconsulting.org. We greatly appreciate a call. Give us some feedback on our shows, and complimentary consultation is always on the table.
And that concludes another episode of Results Driven with our host, Kurt High. And me, your co-host, Jacqueline Gladhill. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us for Results Driven. Don't head into retirement without a plan for both your finances and your health. For more information, contact Kurt High at High Value Consulting at 484-431-2874 or visit highvalueconsulting.org. Join us again soon for another episode of Results Driven.
Investment advisory services are offered through Virtue Capital Management, an SEC-registered investment advisor. High Value Consulting and VCM are independent of each other.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.